I'm Pat Spores. I'd like to look at the Zidane incident from the biological point of view.
Dr. Peter Naish, and I'm a cognitive psychologist.
I'm Dr. Jovan Byford. I'm a social psychologist.
It's quite evident that during this particular football match, there was a degree of tension building up between Materazzi, the Italian player, and Zidane. Earlier in the match, Materazzi had been holding on to Zidane's shirt. And then, of course, later on, he said something that Zidane interpreted as being particularly insulting just before Zidane turned round and headbutted him in the chest. I think it's understandable that Zidane must have felt angry, irritated by what had been happening. But it was unusual that someone would react so explosively in that sort of situation. Not everybody would have reacted with a headbutt. So there must have been a combination of factors that came together at that particular moment for Zidane to react in that way. And I'd like to suggest that some of these factors, not all of them, just some of the factors, are something related to Zidane's biological state.
My approach to the question is to subdivide it. It seems to me there are a number of curious incidents that seems to begin with Zidane being held from behind by the Italian player. And strangely, he doesn't respond to this. So one wants to know, why is that then? Doesn't he mind? And then after a gap, he appears to notice something's going on. There are words exchanged. They don't look particularly cross words. And they part, and again, it all seems well. So why that gap? And followed, of course, by the turning round and the infamous headbutt.
When I saw the World Cup final and I saw the Zidane incident, several social psychological concepts sprung to mind as a way of explaining what happened. We can look at this incident as a manifestation of identity, as a social role that Zidane was playing in that particular situation, and also the effect on culture, on human behaviour. Now, you will recall that in Chapter 5 of Starting with Psychology, we dealt with these particular concepts. And one of the things that emerged in that chapter is that in our everyday lives, we have to manage and embody different identities. And football legends like Zidane are no different to ordinary mortals when it comes to having multiple identities. On that football pitch at the Olympic Stadium in Berlin, Zidane was, first of all, a professional football player. He was a member of an 11-man team with whom he shared a sense of camaraderie and, more importantly, a common goal. But at the same time, he was wearing a French shirt. So he was representing another broader identity, the identity of a French person. And he was sharing this identity with millions of other French fans. But Zidane was no ordinary Frenchman. As an Algerian Frenchman, he was also, in some sense, a symbol, and he was regarded by many in France as a symbol of France's multiculturalism and a more inclusive national identity. Thirdly, Zidane was also a private person, somebody who had his own personal past. And we know that Zidane grew up in the Docklands of Marseille in a particularly rough area called La Castellane. And this is something that also was part of Zidane's identity. And in fact, we know from an interview he gave in 2004 that he, when asked to describe himself, the first thing he said about himself is that he is somebody who comes from the La Castellane quarter. He was very proud of his working class background in this sense.
One of the first biological factors to consider is Zidane is a man, and men are much more likely to react with this hostile physical aggression, especially towards another man, than a woman would. It'd be really unusual to see a woman headbutt someone else in that aggressive way. I'm not saying that women are not aggressive, because they are aggressive, but they tend to show their aggression in different ways. So they'd be more likely to be verbally abusive, call somebody horrible names, or exclude someone, not be friends with them, or spread negative information about them. And if they were going to be physically aggressive, it's more likely they'd pick on an object, slam a door or smash a plate. Now, this difference between men and women, we can see this difference from a very, very early age. Male physical aggression tends to peak round about puberty, adolescence time. In fact, if you want to know what the violent crime rate is for any particular country, All you need to know is what proportion of the population is young and male. And if the proportion of young male rises, then violent crime will go up as well, and vice versa. And it's not just that we see this difference from an early age. We see this sort of difference in all sorts of different human cultures. So regardless of the cultural background, how people were brought up, the cultural pressures on them, we still see that men tend to be more physically aggressive than women. This holds true in animals as well as in humans. And because we see this difference between males and females so often, it does suggest that perhaps there's a genetic predisposition for males to be more physically aggressive than females. If you can remember reading your course book, a genetic predisposition, it's an inherited tendency to display certain characteristics. So it's only a tendency. It doesn't mean that automatically all males are going to be aggressive and females not. It's a tendency, so it means that other factors like background and the situation somebody's in play a part as well.
Contemporary football culture is also one which values masculinity. It is one whose values are ones of physical strength, ones of competition. It glorifies heterosexuality and it glorifies male power, male physical power. And that is also something that we need to take into account when we explain many things that happen on the football pitch, including what happened in that fateful 110th minute of the World Cup final. We know that Zidane reacted to something that Marco Materazzi said to him. And several weeks after the event, Materazzi explained that what he said was an inappropriate, lewd comment about Zidane's sister. And this is what provoked Zidane to react. Now, several weeks later, Zidane addressed the media and he refused to apologise for attacking Materazzi. He regretted doing it on live television, but he said that he would do it again. He repeatedly told the French media that it is something that he would do again. And when he explained and he tried to account for his action, he said something that is very interesting. He said that as a man, it made it very difficult for him to listen to insults against his sister. So in accounting for what he did, he didn't mention that he was a professional footballer. He didn't mention that he was a Frenchman. He mentioned his masculine identity. In other words, the reason why he reacted was that it was something that was expected of him as a man, to protect his family honour, to protect the female members of his family. He was invoking a traditionally male role in society, one that is determined by particular ideologies and cultural expectations that we have in contemporary society.
In cognitive psychology, there's the concept of the schema. It's a kind of shorthand way we have of knowing what to expect in a given situation. So even if a particular piece of information is missing, you sort of take it as read because the schema has that within it. And in this football schema, one of the things that might be expected is that another player from the other team is going to shout abuse at you. It does happen. So if, for example, Zidane didn't hear properly what was said, one could imagine his schema just telling him instantly, without further thought, that was abusive, and hence he might respond.
One thing that biological psychologists have investigated is whether male aggression is linked to testosterone. Testosterone's a hormone, it's a male sex hormone, that both men and women have, but men have it in much higher quantities. And certainly researchers have claimed that they've found examples of men who are highly aggressive having high levels of testosterone. However, the evidence is far from clear. It does seem that there's a link between aggression and testosterone, but the question is, what is causing what? Is it the testosterone that's causing the aggressive behaviour, or is it the aggressive behaviour that's causing a rise in testosterone?
Our attention is very selective, and an awful lot, a lot of the time, goes unnoticed. We don't normally notice our clothes touching our skin. We can stop and think about it and are aware that they are. In this case, Zidane obviously is focused on what's happened to the ball. The brain processes incoming information in regions sitting rather like a saddle like this. But then at the front of the brain, that's the part that tells where your attention is going to go. So although all around here there might be lots of activity, including that from someone tugging you from behind, the bit that's watching the ball is where all the attention is, and you don't know that the other thing is going on. But then the tension goes out of the scene. The ball has gone out of play or something, and immediately the attention just becomes generalised, and he thinks, this guy's holding on to me. Turns around, words are exchanged, and then he walks away, all appears to be well. But why that gap? One possibility is that he didn't fully process what was said. It takes brain power to process, probably rather more if the thing that is said is by a foreigner who's not speaking his native tongue, perhaps got a word wrong, something like that. And it does take a lot of concentration to listen to what's being said in those circumstances. Zidane didn't have a lot of concentration. He was in the middle of a game of football, and anyone who doubts that it's hard to do two things like that at once should try doing mental arithmetic while jogging. It's surprisingly tricky. So perhaps, little by little, he was thinking about the information, top-down processing so that things he knew would help him process what was being said. The interpretation, again, the context, so the schemata that apply to the football match, or indeed to his own background, the culture he comes from, all influencing A, how it's interpreted, and B, how you then respond. So eventually, perhaps the penny drops, and he spins round, that's what he said, and he delivers the attack. Why that particular attack? Why not too violent? Perhaps it was merely to show his displeasure, but didn't want it to be over the top. Another possibility, we're back to top-down processing and the effect of schema again. This was a football match. You don't use your hands. So you don't punch, you head. And perhaps that's what did it.
It is unlikely that in La Castellane neighbourhood in Marseille you would go and insult somebody's sister and expect to get away with it. In other words, it was a culturally determined reaction to a personal insult towards your family. In that sense, in looking at why Zidane did it, we need to look at who Zidane was, look at his identity, and look at how that identity came out in that particular situation.
What is very clear in the Zidane incident is that Zidane was in a very stressful situation. He was playing in the 2006 World Cup final, and this was going to be his last match before he retired. He was captain of his team, and he was a very skilled, very talented player, so there was a lot of pressure on him to produce the goals that France wanted. I don't think you can imagine a more stressful situation for a footballer. This level of stress is bound to have caused biological changes in Zidane's body. His heart rate would be increased, his pulse would be fast, he'd be breathing more rapidly, be sweating more. And a hormone called adrenaline would have been released into his bloodstream. Now, adrenaline is a hormone that's produced by the adrenal glands, and we've got two of these. They sit just above the kidneys, either side of the body. And whenever we're in a stressful situation, the body will release adrenaline, and this prepares the body for action. The adrenaline makes sure that there's plenty of oxygen and glucose available for the brain and for the muscles. And it also shuts down on other physical activities that are not really necessary, such as the digestive system. Because if we're getting ready for action, we're hardly likely to pause for a sandwich, so we don't need the digestive system to be active. So the adrenaline in the body will cause us to be prepared for action, and it's for this reason that it's often called the flight or fight hormone. Certainly our ancestors, our evolutionary past, would indicate that having this type of reaction to stress could be very sensible, because prehistoric ancestors, the type of things that would stress them would be threatening things such as a large animal or another human. And they've got a very simple choice to make. Do I stand here and fight? Or is that too dangerous? And should I run away? So whether they choose to fight or run away, then being prepared for action is quite a useful response to have. It's not so useful today in modern society, because the type of stress that we tend to suffer is caused by things like a particularly large bill or a visit to the dentist. And fighting or running away is not going to be a useful response to either of those situations. However, it was quite a good response for Zidane to have in his stressful situation, because it was making sure that he was prepared for action, he was prepared to respond to the changing demands of that football game. There's a difference between men and women in terms of this response to stress. Men tend to respond much faster, they respond more intensely, and their response lasts longer. So for a man, the adrenaline will rise quicker, it'll rise higher, and it'll stay high for longer than it would for a woman. Research has shown us that whenever we're in this aroused situation, then whatever emotion we're feeling, we're going to feel that emotion much more intensely than if we were feeling very relaxed. Makers of horror films trade on this. You know, if you've watched a horror film, that the tension will be cranked up, that you can actually see it in yourself or the people around you, that in that tense, stressful situation, when you're not sure what's going to happen, you're going to find your muscles are tensed, that your breathing increases, that perhaps you're sitting forward in your seat, and then suddenly this horrible thing happens and you jump back. You might even scream. If you're at home, you might even walk around the room to get rid of some of that energy that you've built up. It seems quite an extreme reaction to something that you've watched that you know is made up, and you're watching from the safety of your own living room.
Now also, and this is mentioned again in chapter 5, is the idea of role conflict. Zidane, as we said, was at the same time a professional footballer representing French national identity and, as we saw, somebody for whom masculinity was an important source of pride and identity. These three roles have different expectations. As a professional footballer, he should have ignored it. He should have ignored the provocation. As somebody who represents the national team, he also should have ignored what happened. But at that particular moment, he didn't. He, in other words, jeopardized his career, he jeopardized his reputation in order to protect this particular identity. Now, we don't know what happened in Zidane's head at that particular time. We don't know what the thought processes are. But sometimes it is also important to look at identity not as something that happens in people's heads, but as a performance, as an act, and as a practice, if you like. It is something that people do, and something by which they show to the world and to the people around them who they are. And in this case, the salient identity which determined Zidane's act was that of a male football player from a rough background who deals with personal insults in this particular way.
Why did he do it at that particular time? The game had actually gone into extra time, so there was still everything to play for there. It was a vital, important and stressful time during the game, and Zidane would have been particularly stressed, particularly aroused, so it would have taken very little provocation for him to react in a fairly extreme way.